Welcome, everybody. My name is Steph Schleyer. I am the Director of Family Ministry. So excited to be here with you guys today. I want to ask you a question before we get started talking about The Mandalorian. Who out there are my Star Wars geeks? Anybody? Do I have some people? A few people? Okay, good. All right, so good. I've already made a little connection. Okay, good. Now, who's never watched a Star Wars movie, show, anything? Okay, a couple. No stress. Don't worry about it. I'll guide you through it. Don't worry. You're still going to be, you're going to understand everything that's happening. Now, my family, we love Star Wars, okay? We are into it. We've seen all the movies. We've even made a few of our own movies, okay? We know a lot of the lines from Star Wars. And when my kids were younger, we went on a family trip to Disney World, and Star Wars was a big theme that was happening in the park that year. And one of the attractions that we went to was an exhibition with Darth Vader. Now, those of you that don't know, Darth Vader's like the bad guy, all right? Well, he's the bad guy. And there was an exhibition with him and Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's like the super good guy, right? They were having a battle on stage. And in the middle of the battle, Obi-Wan calls on the younglings in the audience if they want to come up and have their go at battling Darth Vader, okay? So he's calling people in the audience. He's going, "You over there, come on up, and you, come on up." And then he points in this direction. He goes, "Yes, you, little boy in the blue shirt, come on up." Now, my son was wearing a blue shirt, but he was standing over here, okay? And he's like, "I'm wearing a blue shirt." He sneaks his little body right up on stage. He's like, I'm going up there. I will fight Darth Vader. I have a picture of him just because he's so adorable and cute. Look at him. He's up there. Yeah, he's really giving Darth Vader the, all right, okay. So there's no stopping him getting up there on stage because he was determined to get up there and defeat Darth Vader because he wanted to be the good guy. Right? Who doesn't want to be the hero? Who doesn't want to be the good guy? And I think he probably really wanted to play with that lightsaber too. It was kind of a big draw. But he wanted to fight with the lightsaber. He wanted to be the good guy. He wanted to be, the hero. And I think there's at least a little bit of all of that in us. We want to be the good guy. But to be the good guy, it's not always easy. There are choices that you have to make. And at first you might think that it might be easy to make a good guy choice, but, you know, like you start with a set of rules and based on what you believe, and then you commit to follow them. And we all live by rules, right? We live by rules of law, rules of our society, rules that our parents or the principals set up for us, rules of the game, rules of religion, even some of our own rules that we put into place. And these rules guide how we live and how we make decisions. And you might end up calling them your personal creed. What happens, though, when your personal creed or your personal beliefs bump up against real life and there's some friction? Do we bend the rules to fit the circumstances, to not get in trouble, to not feel uncomfortable, or do we stand firm regardless of the cost? Which one makes us the good guy? What if standing firm ends up hurting someone else? Which one's the right choice? It can all get pretty complicated. Now, in the series The Mandalorian, Mando, he's the main character, the guy with the big helmet and the armor and stuff. He lives by a very strict code of the guild and the creed of the Mandalorian. And these set of beliefs, they make up his personal creed. And his creed bumps up against real-life situations where he has to make a choice. And today we'll take a look at some of the decisions that are made throughout the series and how they might compare to some life situations that we're going through. And of course, we'll take a look at how all of that filters through with what the Bible has to say of how we should live our lives. So when the series The Mandalorian came out, My family was, of course, pretty excited to watch, and the idea of the creed kept coming back up for me and how we use our personal creeds to make everyday decisions. So let's talk a few minutes about how we form our personal creeds. Now, I believe we have the Be Nice Creed, right? And that includes be kind to others. Hold the door for other people. Protect those that are weaker than you. Let others go first. Don't hit your brother, even if he's annoying to you, right? We also have the be wise kind of creeds, like save your money for the future. Get an education. Work hard. Learn from the experiences of others. But we also have internal kind of selfish creeds, like don't let anyone get the best of you. Do what you need to get ahead in life. If someone wrongs you, it's only fair game for you to treat them likewise. We also might have strong beliefs, like political beliefs. I will always be a Republican, or I will always be a Democrat. And of course, we have beliefs about religion, like being a Baptist is the only way to go, or being a Catholic or a Lutheran. And we have strong beliefs about health, right? Like, I will never eat another piece of bread in my life. All the way to eat whatever you want. You only live once. Enjoy what you got. And we might have some strong beliefs about schooling. Like, I will always homeschool my kids. To, oh, my kids are always going to public school. And if you're a kid, maybe it's, I will always try my best in school. All the way to, I will always try my best to get out of going to school. Right? I believe that's true. When you put all these things together, they become your own personal creed, guiding you on how to live your life. And all that's great. We need guidance in how to live our lives, and it helps us make good decisions. But I think when our personal creeds, when they bump up against real life situations, that's when things can start to get a little tricky, when our creeds are put to the test. All right, the first bump, if you guys want us to go bump like this, we're going to use the bump a lot, okay? Our first bump that I want to explore asks this question. Does my personal creed hold up when dealing with people that I like as well as with people I don't like? All right, do I still believe this is the right thing to do when it's dealing with someone that's different than me, even with my enemies, right? That's the first test. So in this clip that I want to show you from The Mandalorian, Mando, the main character, he's on a mission to find other Mandalorians to help him in returning the baby Yoda back to his own people. Now, he finds out that there might be a Mandalorian in the city of Mos Pelgro on the planet Tatooine. That's my Star Wars geek talk for you guys out there. Okay, and so he goes there, and only to find out that it's just the marshal of the town is wearing some old Mandalorian armor to protect himself, okay? Now, Mando needs this armor back. It is not right for someone other than a Mandalorian to be wearing it. So the marshal and Mando, they make a deal. And the marshal, he needs help fighting a giant crate dragon. It's basically a dragon that, like, comes up out of the sand and swallows things whole, all right? And if Mando will help him get rid of this sand dragon, then he'll give him his armor back. So Mando decides to get help. He decides, yes, he's going to do this. And he's going to get help from a neighboring village of sand people. All right, so let's take a look. Those are sand people.
What are the bones?
That's the crate dragon.
And those little rocks?
That's us.
It's not this scale.
I think it is.
It can't be. That's too big.
It's to scale.
I've only seen its head and neck. That's a whole lot bigger, I guess. Might be time to rethink our arrangement.
Oh, That's more like it. Where are they getting the reinforcements?
I volunteered your village.
They attacked us less than a year ago. Killed half a dozen of us by the mining camp. Say I took down about twice as many Tuscans.
The town respects you. My guess is they'll listen to reason.
I wouldn't be so sure.
This here is a Mandalorian. You know what that means?
Oh, we've heard the stories.
Then you know how good they are at killing. Now, this one's got a problem. I got a suit of salvaged armor, and the Mandalorian Creed says it's his to take. But I've got a problem, too. A crate dragon has been peeling off our pack animals and sometimes taking our mining haul with it. It's just a matter of time before it grows tired of Banthas and goes after a couple you townsfolk or even, so help us, the school. As much as I've grown fond of the armor, I'm even more fond of this town. The Mandalorian is willing to help us slay the Leviathan in exchange for returning the armor to its ancestral owners.
Well, that settles it.
There's more. We can't take on the crate alone. And the Sand People are willing to help.
They raid our mines! They're monsters!
Okay, so the people of Mos Pelgar, they have a decision to make. They don't like the Sand People. I would say they probably hate them. I mean, that one guy, he screams, "They're monsters!" Which I think is funny, because I think he's the one that looks like a monster. But my point is this. They have to decide, will they put aside their differences, their dislike of each other, to defeat the real monster, the Sand Dragon? Or will they keep fighting each other because they're different? I would describe them definitely as enemies. They know that the Crate Dragon is bad news, and it will eventually destroy both the townspeople and the Sand People. So what are they going to do? It seems kind of silly talking about Sand People and dragons when you think about it, but I don't think our country has been more divided in my lifetime, and I'm really young, so that's not a lot of years, but people believe differently about religion, politics, social justice, masks, vaccines, in-person school versus online school, personal rights and freedoms. And for some, the go-to is to make sure that everyone else knows how they feel and why they are right and you are wrong, no matter what the cost is. You'll have probably heard the use of the word Karen, right? To describe someone that's kind of like this, someone who's going to just, they go off about what they believe and why and how you are so wrong, and usually it gets heated and hateful. And I just want to make a side note that if your name is Karen, I'm really sorry. This is not about you, okay? My kids and I experienced a Karen moment a few weeks ago in a convenience store where one woman thought she was wronged over some water bottles. And wow, she let the cashier know it, right? She starts yelling and screaming and just berating this cashier. And then she starts yelling, "Someone call 911, call 911," because she's just been so offended. And I'm like, "Kids, stand behind me. We don't need to be involved in this situation." And they all look down on me and go, "Okay, Mom." I'm sure they were thinking, maybe you should stand behind us. But, and one of them said, "Yeah, she's being a real Karen. No matter how hard we try, we can't hide this from our kids, because this rage, this need to be right and be against everyone who doesn't believe the same as us is real." Now, I think we can all agree that what Karen did in the store at that moment was wrong. There was no reason for her to start screaming and yelling at that poor cashier. What I want to challenge you with, though, today is your feelings about Karen and people like her. I'm going to guess, because this is the way that I felt at that moment, she gets what she deserves. You know, no one should be nice to Karen because Karen is not nice to anyone else. And there you have it. There's the bump, right? As a Christian, I have a belief or a creed or a set of rules or whatever you want to call it, that you should treat people the way that you want to be treated. And that doesn't just apply to how I think Karen should treat that cashier. It applies to how I treat Karen. Jesus actually says it beautifully in Luke 6, verses 27 through 31. Here he's talking about, he's given instructions to how we're supposed to love our enemies. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Now, Jesus is getting into it here, and the possibility for conflicting ideas, like bumping up against each other, is pretty high. He's saying, don't pay back your enemies with what is fair, but love your enemies. And he goes one step further to say to do good to your enemies. He continues in verses 32 through 35. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies, with an exclamation mark. Do good to them. So how are we doing, guys? Are we loving the people in our lives that are different than us, that believe differently than we do, that act differently than we do, that have a different personal creed than our own? Even the Karens? Are we doing these things that Jesus says to do? Do to others as you would like them to do to you? Are we loving them and treating them the way we are treated? Or are we mixing it up and treating them the way that they treat us? In The Mandalorian, the Sand People and the people of Mos Pelgro, they do make the decision to put aside their differences and stand against the dragon together. And they win. And I know you want to see that. So in this scene, we see the crate dragon attacks the Mandalorian. And it looks like it eats him, okay? But don't fret. He gets out, all right? And it's a little intense when he pops up out of the sand. He kind of looks like a giant sand shark, and sand's going everywhere, and he's got really big teeth. So all my kids out there, I want you to look at your parents right now, hold their hand so they won't be afraid, and say, this isn't real, this is just pretend, because we don't want any parents running out of here screaming and crying, all right? So everybody do that right now. Look to the person to your right or left and say, it's not real, it's just pretend. Okay, let's watch.
I've got an idea. Get its attention. I got its attention. Now what?
You still have that detonator?
Take it. What's the plan?
You're gonna take care of the child.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know, but wish me luck.
Hold on.
Great job. I saw some parents out there covering their eyes to make sure they weren't offended, and I appreciate that. What I really like about this ending is seeing all the different people cheering, even the monster guy, right? And seeing people with their weird voices. They're celebrating together. And the people of Mos Pelgro and the Sand People, I'm pretty sure they lived by different creeds and different beliefs, but they decided to put those aside and do what was right to save both villages, to fight against the real monster, the Crate Dragon, instead of continuing to fight against each other. Now, it's a high calling to love your enemies, but Jesus reminds us that we should act this way because of the example of love that God has shown to us. He is kind to the good as well as to the wicked. And the end of the passage about loving your enemies, Jesus reminds us this. He says, "For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate." It's spelled out pretty clearly here. We are to be loving, generous, compassionate to everyone, even our enemies. God is good to kind people as well as bad, and he expects us to do the same. He expects us to treat others the way that we want to be treated. So when we look at our creeds, they should stand firm for both people that we like and for people that we don't like. All right, another question to ask when it comes to our personal creeds is, does it hold up when the circumstances change? Our personal creeds might bump up into real life and be challenged when our situation changes, and our creeds or our beliefs just don't seem to fit anymore. Do we bend the rules to fit the circumstances, or do we stand firm? Now, Mando is faced with this opportunity a lot when it comes to his helmet. You see, the Mandalorian code or the creed dictates that he cannot take it off in the presence of another living creature. Now, in this next clip, Moff Gideon, he's another super bad guy, has kidnapped that cute little baby Yoda, and he has evil plans for him. Mando, of course, is on a mission to rescue the baby Yoda, and he knows that if he can get the location of Moff Gideon, that he'll find baby Yoda. So he and his team have devised this plan, and they're going to go to a secret mining station and go undercover to get Gideon's location. Now, here's the big problem. Mando can't go in undercover if he's wearing his Mandalorian helmet, right? It's a pretty big giveaway as to who he is. So, But if he doesn't take his helmet off, they most likely will not be able to rescue Baby Yoda. So Mando makes the decision that he's going to wear a stormtrooper's uniform, which includes a helmet, but it's not a Mandalorian helmet. And let's watch this clip as his partner questions him about it.
I'm just saying, somewhere someone in this galaxy is ruling and others are being ruled. I mean, look at your race. Do you really think all those people that died in wars fought by Mandalorians actually had a choice? So how are they any different than the Empire? Look, if you're born on Mandalore, you believe one thing. If you're born on Alderaan, you believe something else. But guess what? Neither one of them exist anymore. Hey, I'm just a realist. I'm a survivor, just like you.
Let's get one thing straight. You and I are nothing alike.
I don't know. Seems to me like your rules start to change when you get desperate. I mean, look at you. You said you couldn't take your helmet off, and now you got a stormtrooper one on, so what's the rule? Is it that you can't take off your Mando helmet or you can't show your face? Because there is a difference. Look, I'm just saying. We're all the same. Everybody's got their lines they don't cross until things get messy. As far as I'm concerned, if you can make it through your day and still sleep at night, you're doing better than most.
Isn't this true? We all have a set of rules that we live by until things get messy. Your rules start to change when you get desperate. And maybe it's not so drastic as desperate. Maybe for you, it's when you start to feel uncomfortable. For example, a friend asks if you can come over and help them with something, and you say, "Oh, I can't come over, I'm busy tonight." But really, you're just binge-watching The Mandalorian, but you don't want to do whatever it is they've asked you to do. You're not technically lying, but you aren't telling the full truth either. Or here's one, it's late at night, and your mom knocks on your door and says, "Are you in bed?" And you say, yeah, Mom, good night. But really, you're in bed playing video games. Again, not technically lying, but you're bending the truth. And here's one more. Does this shirt make me look fat? Of course not. You look great. But everyone knows, including you, that you gained 25 pounds during COVID. But who wants to say, yeah, you look fat? Nobody wants to say that, right? You get the idea. We just justify our actions. We justify our actions that we know are wrong or don't line up with our personal creeds by bending the truth to fit the situation so we don't feel uncomfortable. And lying is just like the tip of the iceberg. What about being greedy or overindulgent? Our creed says, save money for the future, be frugal, give generously to others. But in real life, my situation has changed, and here comes the bump. I'm in pain, and I'm struggling mentally. I'm just trying to deal with all the mess and disappointment in my life. Bending the rules, blowing the budget, buying more than I need. I'll do it just this one time to ease my suffering. I deserve it. I need it. Actually, my kids might need it. I'll pay for it later, and then I'll get back on track. Or what about being humble and putting others first? We read it in the Bible. We know it's what God expects of us. But here's the bump. That person is just a real jerk. They think they know everything. They're rude and pushy. I want to be first. I want them to know that I'm right, just this once. Once I settle the score, then I'll go back to being humble and putting others' needs first. Easy to do. Easy to justify. Easy to bend the rules with what you feel like is just this once and then get back to your creed. I think we all understand that these circumstances, they're challenging for us. And probably we could all use a little help when it comes to sticking to our personal creeds, when things get messy and it's going to cost us something, like our comfort or our position or our pride or even our money. But here's a real tricky question. What happens when your personal creed bumps into a real-life situation that's going to hurt someone else? Now, Mando has to reconcile with this when they get inside of the officer's lounge at the secret mining plant. Remember, he's already bent the rules by taking off his Mandalorian helmet and being seen in a stormtrooper's helmet instead. And it's a loophole, but he does it so he can get to Baby Yoda to rescue him from evil Moff Gideon. Now he's faced with going one step further. He has to take his helmet off to use the computer to get the coordinates to Moff Gideon. The computer has to scan his face, and he runs the risk of others seeing his face as well. And this is in direct opposition to his personal creed. But if he doesn't do it, then he might lose Baby Yoda forever. So let's watch.
There he is. Good luck.
I can't go in there.
Why not?
It's Fallon Hess.
Who?
Fallon Hess. I used to serve under him.
Will he recognize you?
I don't know. I was just a field operative, but I'm not taking the chance. It's over.
Let's just do this quick, and we can get out of here.
I can't do it, okay? We have to abort. I'm sorry.
No, I can't. If we don't get those coordinates, I'll lose the kid forever. Give me the data stick.
It's not gonna work. In order to access the network, the terminal has to scan your face. Let's go.
Give it to me.
5, 4, 3, 2. Facial scan complete.
Trooper. Hey, trooper.
Pay attention when a superior addresses you.
Can you see the pain in Mando's face right before he has to turn and show his face to that officer? This is it. This is the moment that he comes face to face with his bump. And his personal creed didn't just like bump into real life. It was a major crash. And this time, sacrificing his beliefs or his creed wasn't for his own gain. It wasn't going to make him more comfortable or give him more power or wealth. It was to save someone else. Guys, this is a big one. This is the one that forces us to really search ourselves and what we believe and why we believe it. And for me, as a follower of Jesus, this is where I have to ask myself, am I doing this because it's what God wants me to do? And I know that it's true because I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and I'm searching for answers from God and I'm trying to grow and learn and be more like Him. Or is this part of my personal creed that I'm doing it just because it's what I've always done? Maybe it's the way your parents always did it, and your grandparents. Maybe you grew up just doing it this way, so now you think, well, this is just the way. But now real life, it bumps into it, and your creed and your beliefs are hurting someone else, and maybe you're realizing it for the first time. Maybe you have strong beliefs or thoughts on social justice, and you're realizing that they're different than someone that you care a lot about. What are you supposed to do here? Or maybe you have a belief that you have to win, to be the very best, to be first, no matter the cost. Go hard, do whatever it takes. And now your team is going up against a team that your friend is on. What are you going to do? If standing firm in what you believe in is going to hurt someone else, what do you do? It's not easy to be the good guy here. It's not easy to make a good guy choice. So I'm asking you to examine your personal creed. Is there any part of it that's based on, I've always done it this way, or this is the way my people, whoever those people are, have always done it? Or is this the way that makes me the most comfortable? Is it what God wants you to do? Is it what the Bible says to do? And if you can't find it in the Bible, does it pass the test of, is what I'm doing loving God and loving others? And if the answer is no, and you call yourself a Jesus follower, then you need to take a hard look at it. Listen, I'm going to mess this up hundreds of times, thousands probably, and so are you. And I'm going to make the wrong choice. My personal creed is going to be off or in jeopardy because I want what's fair more than I want what's right. I want to be comfortable more than I want to be in pain. I just want more than I want to be without. I want to be popular more than I want to be an outcast. I want to be first more than I want to be last. And these decisions that I make that don't line up with the way that God wants me to act, they separate me from Him. Now, thankfully, God loves me so much that He doesn't want to be separated from me. So He sent Jesus to rescue me. And in The Mandalorian, Mando is on this mission to rescue baby Yoda because he cares so much about him. In this last clip, Mando sends a message to the evil Moff Gideon to let him know how much baby Yoda, or the child as he calls him in this clip, means to him. So let's watch it.
Sir, you should see this.
Moff Gideon, You have something I want. You may think you have some idea what you are in possession of, but you do not. Soon, he will be back with me. He means more to me than you will ever know.
Now that's a pretty powerful message that Mando is giving to Moff Gideon. Mando is saying that he will do anything to get Baby Yoda back. But here's what God has to say about me and you. In Isaiah 43, 1 through 4, in the message, it says this: Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You are mine. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade creation just for you. When God says that he's redeemed you, that means that he has rescued you from eternal separation from you by paying the price that you couldn't pay. God sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. And when we've gone our way instead of God's, when our personal creeds don't line up with what the Bible has to say, when we make decisions that aren't in line with him, it separates us from him and it wrecks our relationship with him. And God wants this relationship repaired with you. Remember, he said, I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. If you have a relationship with Jesus, I ask you today to lean into that. Remember all that he's done for you and use it to help you when you're forming your personal creed and when making decisions when your creed bumps up into real life. And if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus yet, it's really as easy as ABC. Admit that you have sin in your life and you go your own way instead of God's and that separates you from him and you don't like it. Believe that God sent Jesus to repair that relationship and he did it by dying on the cross, and then choose to follow him and make Jesus the leader of your life. I encourage you to investigate this more. Read the Bible for yourself. Pray and ask God to help you to understand it. And ask people you know who are followers of Jesus to help you. Or ask anyone here on staff at New Hope or a small group leader. We would love to talk more with you about it. Let's pray. God, you are good. We love you so much. We are in awe of how much that you love us. Thank you that you came to rescue us. Thank you that you want a relationship with us. Thank you that you've shown us the way that we're supposed to treat others. When we're different, when our personal creeds don't line up, Lord, I just ask that you help each and every one of us today to think about that, to think about what is it? What are the things that make our own personal creeds? Help us to examine that, to find out, are these the things that you want? Are these the things that you want us to stand up for? Do they line up with how you want me to live my life? God, I ask you to help us examine that in a way that's transparent. Help us to not be afraid of that process. Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't made a commitment to follow you yet, or they don't understand how much you love them, I pray today that they would understand you more, that they would take a step in that direction to having a relationship with you. Lord, there are so many things going on in our world right now where people are angry, or actually full of rage, whether it has something to do with COVID and the pandemic, or war, or earthquakes or floods. God, there's so many things where it's easy for us to be divided and then to point fingers and to get angry at those who don't believe the same as us. I just ask today that you help us not be against each other. Help us to love others the way that you want us to love others. Help us to learn to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.